Live from the Geyer Studio, where combatants battle for the glory of cinema, with your host, DJ Ace, this is Cinema Wars! Welcome to the semi-final round of Cinema Wars. So I have three contestants that have battled hard and fierce all semester long. But now we come to this point in time where only two of them go to the final round.
Oh, it's like the Hunger Games up in here.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yes.
Only two can... Go ahead.
Yeah, right. They didn't know the two thing at the
let
beginning.
Let me explain the stakes to you. Matt and Lindsay both have 4 points. Brad, you have three.
So I have to win both?
You have to win the main round,
which is
to tie it up, and then someone wins the bonus round. And then there's a speed round for the two left over that are tied up.
Did we not know the speed round topic?
You don't know the speed round topics.
Oh, that's
it's
lame.
It's like multiple choice stuff, though.
Exactly. Oh, okay. They're really fast. Right.
Just
really
answer
fast.
B every time. You'll probably get one of them.
B is the best letter.
Yes. It really is.
So, are you all clear on the stakes then?
I'm clear-headed, yes.
The two of you that do survive this round will go up against Chris in the final in the next week.
I have a question.
What?
Where is this guy? Where is Chris?
Yeah, how do we know he even really exists?
No. I know.
Who is Chris?
I know he's real. But if I was in his position, I would at least spectate.
Yeah,
you know?
Stake out your competition.
I wouldn't stake be out. Like. Honestly, he's being a coward right now. He doesn't want to face us. He's trying to prepare for it.
The weird thing is, he's a sports guy, and the things all sports guys do is they send scouts. To scout out the competition before the game.
So
but he's not even scouting.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
Unless, Brad, you're like a spy.
I'm going to report false things to him only, though.
Okay.
False God.
Okay, so let's get to the main round here. The question is...
You okay?
I was trying really hard not to do that into the mic.
We are very near to the month of May, so we're going to be hitting that period of three-ish months where...
Four months.
I thought he said four months.
Okay, moving on.
Right, so we're talking about summer movies, because they're the big movies that come out every year for the most part, unless it's December. But yeah, the summer blockbusters.
Oh, you know those December movies.
So would you say summer movies are the big movies that come out during the summer?
Yes.
What about the big fall movies? Like, those are the Oscar winners in the first place, so you got to give those
like
some credit.
February movies?
Yeah.
What about,
have you
like
seen The Witch?
Valentine's
the
Day.
The Witch was really good. That came. It's a horror film, I'm sorry, Lindsay, but it's really good. It came out a couple months ago, and it's like great.
I read about it on Wikipedia.
It got like a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's really well put together, yeah.
All right, so the question is, what would be the best movie from the summer of 2016? Summer movies, beginning of May, end of August. So those are your choices.
Scratchy, scratch, scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
The mic gets
Yeah,
weird
it does
sometimes.
That sometimes.
Sorry.
Really? Okay.
It's okay. You're not the one talking most of this time, so.
That's true.
It's really cool when you're doing an actual sports update and you sound like a robot.
Anyway.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, resuming. We are going to get to start. Matt, you get the first pick. What movie are you most excited for this summer?
I am most excited for Suicide Squad.
Okay. Very end of August, I believe.
Yes, it is. Best for last.
All right, Brad.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. Oh, yeah.
And what about you, Lindsay?
Mine will have to be Finding Dory.
Mm-hmm.
That comes out this summer?
Yeah.
Yes.
I did not think you were going to go with that one.
Yeah, no, I know. I tricked you.
Oh.
Inside my head. No bueno.
This is why I'm going to be going into advertising. Because I'm good at manipulating people.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I'll do it.
Matt, you are first. You. Tell me about Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad is a little indie film made by Warner Brothers coming out in August.
Warner Brothers, that's that like small independent run.
I'm pretty sure this is my turn.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
No, my apologies.
No, please, forgive me. Forgive me for my ignorance. I just want to say that it's a movie about supervillains or just villains that have to work for the government to make, I don't know, do good while still being supervillains. And the whole time, they're like, all right, hey, we're bad, but we still have to like help the government and be good guys for a little bit. So I think that, you know, when we see the movie, we're going to see, like, you know, of course, the Joker played by Jared Leto and Harley Quinn played by the woman.
Margot Robbie.
And then Will Smith playing, what's his face? And yes. And I just think it'll be really interesting to see, like, you know, they're all going to have like their dark moments, but I think they're going to really shine through and show like there is light in everyone. But also I'm ready to see some more Joker, and I'm really excited about Jared Leto's new Joker. At first I was really unsure about it, but I think the uncertainty going into this movie is what's making me more interested, because like, after BVS came out, mixed reviews, I think Warner Brothers is banking big time on Suicide Squad. They don't have as much to worry about. Let me back up. Disney has a lot less to worry about because they have Civil War already coming out. It's already doing well overseas, and they have a very well-established universe. DC, on the other hand, is establishing this new universe still, and they're introducing a bunch of already established characters in this universe who are already supervillains, and they're throwing them into a big, crazy plot. Also, the cinematography, of course, is always amazing in DC movies. Can't wait to see what the Joker really brings. And of course, Batman, Batfleck will be in it. Probably arguably the best part of BVS.
Batfleck?
Yes. Batfleck.
All right, Brad. TMNT out of the shadows.
So for me, summer movies are all about having fun. And I don't think there is any movie, any series that is more fun than Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It is literally about a group of teenaged mutated turtles who were trained in the ninja arts by a giant mutated rat. This is the sequel to the, I think it was it last summer that the first
two
one came
summers
out?
Ago.
Was it two summers ago? Thank you. This is the sequel, but we're getting introduced to new and favorite characters like Casey Jones, who's being played by Stephen Amell, who was in Arrow, who's the main guy in Arrow.
Oh.
And so he's got these real great, like, street level vigilante chops, which is kind of exactly what Casey Jones is, with a dash of fun thrown in there. We're getting into real big bads, because everyone knows Shredder in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles lore. Everyone kind of knows that Shredder is the big bad, and I'm Shredder. But they're not going to be fighting Shredder, from what I understand. It's going to be Krang, which is maybe scarier than Shredder, as well as being less known. And we got Rocksteady is coming back.
So is Bebop, isn't he?
Yeah, Bebop and Rocksteady. I could not remember I don't know why I couldn't remember Bebop's name. But I am so excited. especially because when I was growing up, the rubber suit in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies were my jam. I watched them
Go Ninja, Go!
I watched them the same way that college girls watch Disney movies nowadays. Mm. When I was little, that's how I watched them. And it's going to be fantastic. I think it might be Michael Bay's Saving Grace, that movie. And I think that it's just going to be an absolute blast.
Awesome sauces.
Hashtag TNMNT.
Hashtag out of the shadows. Okay. All right, Lindsay, let's hear about Finding Dory.
All right. So, yeah, I love animated movies. I've talked about them a lot because I watch them a lot. Every time I come on Cinema Wars, it's pretty much I'm talking about animated movies. But anyway, they're really good. And the thing is, it's Pixar. And, you know, Disney Pixar, they always have... I mean, I can't actually think of many movies that have been successful like Finding Nemo has, that haven't had an incredible amount of heart to it. And that's the beauty of Pixar is their movies generally have... That's weird. Don't do that.
I'm sorry. It was itchy. I'm listening.
I'll show you something that's itchy.
Okay, moving on. it's incredible how much heart these movies have, and it's been another great thing is it's been 13 years since the original Finding Nemo came out. So not only have we not seen these characters in 13 years, like we've bonded with them, we're excited to see them again. Also, these movies, it's almost a genius marketing strategy. They did the same thing with Toy Story, because the original Toy Story came out when we were all children, and then we grew up with the characters. We grew up as Andy grew up. So like it's the same with Finding Nemo and Finding Dory. You know, there's a certain amount of nostalgia there because it was part of our childhood. I mean, I went and I saw the movie in theaters probably a good 5 or 6 times. Granted, not all of those were voluntary. Some of those were like, daycare stuff like that. But but I did. I went and I saw it like 5 or 6 times. And it's so ingrained in my childhood that I'm really excited to like I said, see these characters again, to rejoin with them and there's a certain amount of nostalgia there. So that's why I'm really excited for it. And I think a lot of other people are very excited as well because they're really fun characters.
Yeah.
So kind of...
Action.
All right. That brings us to the best part of Cinema Wars. Who will win the argument?
That will be me.
Prove it. Already.
All right. Okay. Quick shout out to all the movies that did not get mentioned. This summer is going to be wonderful.
Yeah,
it is going to be wonderful.
But
it really
it's
is.
Almost entirely a summer filled with sequels. But yeah, Summer of Sequels is what I have officially dubbed
mostly,
it.
Mostly, but I mean, Suicide Squad is not a sequel. It's a standalone film.
Well,
it's starting up.
Here's the thing.
BVS. No. I know where you're already going. BVS is the sequel to Man of Steel. Suicide Squad is a standalone film about the villains. It's about the Joker, about Harley Quinn, about Deadshot. It's not about Batman, who is in the movie. I will give you that. It is like a continuation of the DC
universe. So maybe like a spinoff,
I'd say it's a spinoff, or just it's kind of like what Marvel did. You know, they had a Thor movie, a Captain America movie, and a Hulk movie out the same year, and an Iron Man movie or whatever. No, they had Hulk and Iron Man out first, but kind of they're trying to set it up still. But I think it seems like a good setup film. That's what I'm excited about.
Seems
mostly
like it's the Avengers but for DC villains.
Kind of.
Well, and that's kind of what Suicide Squad is. But my thing is that Marvel waited years before they set up the Avengers. They had so much build up to it. It feels almost like Suicide Squad was just kind of thrown together because they saw, all right, we're not sure if BVS is going to work, but this whole Avengers thing did for Marvel. We've got this, like, I'll admit it, a little bit cooler squad. On the DC side, we're gonna throw them in front of it, but it doesn't feel like it's gonna have the same catharsis that I think Avengers had, and that's what really worries me about a Suicide Squad, because it's building it up like it will.
I agree, but the problem is, I think that if you know they'd get backlash if they went down Marvel's road. You know, if they did the same thing that Marvel did,
that's true.
If they had like 3 or 4 build up films, they'd still get probably the same criticism for following Marvel's. I applaud them for just jumping right in and saying, hey, this hasn't really been done successfully for a long time. We haven't seen like a good team up movie, like with a bunch of characters. Like look at any Spider-Man movie besides the first two. Besides Spider-Man 1, 2 and 4 or the Amazing Spider-Man or whatever.
Yeah.
They've all had multiple villains in it. And it's kind of like they destroy like the stories. Well, here like we have like how many villains? Like 8 villains, I think. But it's a different universe. It's DC's style, and I think that's going to make it interesting because we're going to see how DC manages to pull these guys together and make it different than the Avengers.
See, but we've kind of already seen a DC style team up in BVS.
We have,
and that got lots of bad reviews.
We've seen a team up movie with the superheroes with already established characters. The only established characters that we have going in the live action movie universe for Suicide Squad is the Joker and Harley Quinn and who else?
I think that's maybe that's Waller.
I think what's interesting is you have Killer Croc, who has never made an appearance, and I think that both Harley Quinn and Joker are going to be new interpretations, and I think it'll just be kind of cool to see how they stand out from the Avengers and from BVS and see how they take the feedback of BVS and make this different, because they went back for reshoots last week or a couple weeks ago, and probably to add more Batman, but also to make to give the director more of a vision or go with more of his vision, because I guess the studio actually trusted him more, like after seeing the rough cut. And I saw a tweet that the director put out, and he seemed really excited. But I'm just interested because I don't really see many movies just about bad supervillains, you know.
So here's my thing, though, is this is going to sound awful, but like, I don't really care about this kind of stuff. It's and I'll explain why.
I'll explain to you why I don't care about Two, Three Fish, one with a mental illness.
No, it's
yeah. If she ends up being in like the bathroom or something, the whole movie, I'm going to be so disappointed. By the way.
Let me take it back.
Not mental illness, but like just a memory loss problem.
Yeah,
Dory.
No, it
like,
is mental illness.
I mean, like, I think that's a very deep point of the movie, though. I think that's a good undertone.
Yeah.
But
yeah, well, here's the reason. Okay. It's not that I don't care about Suicide Squad. It seems like an interesting movie. Like, if I got the opportunity, I'd probably go watch it. But the thing for me is, I was never big into comics growing up. I was never big into comic books. Never big into superheroes. And I know a lot of people are, and I know a lot of people aren't, and like, to each his own. There's nothing wrong with liking them. There's nothing wrong with not. But the fact of the matter is, for 5, 6, 7 years now, we've been getting basically nothing but huge superhero movies. Those are the big blockbusters. Every summer, they're always the big summer blockbusters. You know, there was Guardians of the Galaxy. Avengers came out in 2012.
And X-Men came out in 2000.
And so they were like, they were setting them up just for so many years. And I'm just, I don't know. Like, I would personally like to see movies that bring something new to the table. And like, I will also be the first one to say that I'm getting tired of animated movies too, because it's either like the superhero movies, the big chick flicks, or animated movies. Like it's almost like there's nothing original anymore.
Here's what I'm really scared of with animated movies is, and with Finding Dory specifically, is that people have been clamoring for it. And I love that word clamoring because there's a B in there. It's wonderful. People have been like hollering for it for forever. Ever since really Finding Nemo came out. And one, there's no way it can live up to that amount of hype.
Yeah.
That's what, 5, 6 years of hype?
13
More?
Years.
13 years.
It's been 13 years.
I'm not good with time.
It's been 13 years.
13 years of hype. I'm real worried it's going to be essentially the same story as Finding Nemo. And also, animated story, like the whole Disney, Pixar, heartfelt whatever, is like you were saying, it's getting old.
Yeah,
they need to do something.
And
I
think that the perfect film would be something that mashes the beauty and the heart and the funniness of animated with the grittiness and the explosions of superhero films.
The Incredibles. So, the Incredibles was a perfect example.
Exactly.
That was
and a second example like would be
Pixar movie.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's not.
Here's the thing. They've got this animated tone. It's funny. It's Mikey is absolutely hysterical, and they have all these different personality archetypes like you see in animated films. They've got this grittiness of real life that we saw in the previous. We saw in the previous film from things like Shredder and April O'Neil, and now Casey Jones, who has maybe one of the most interesting backstories I think in all of history, and they're doing new things with it. They're getting Krang, who has almost never, who to my knowledge has never been on the big screen before.
But we gotta realize that this is another sequel. This is a franchise that has been around since what, 1990?
No, 80s.
Okay, the 80s.
And the comics were around before that.
Yes, okay. Here's the thing. I have a very bad taste in my mouth about reboots. I'm salty about a lot of them. I love the 90s and the 80s version of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yes, I think that looked more authentic. And just basing my hype off of the first movie that came out like 2 years ago, I'm not hyped at all. Honestly, I think it's a little depressing on how unhyped I am about the second movie in this trilogy or this franchise because of just how poor the first one looked. And I think that they're not going to really do a great job reeling in a new audience or a bigger audience because it has the same audience, the same viewership of Transformers because of Michael Bay and of the explosions and everything. I love explosions. That's why I like Suicide Squad, but I also love Suicide Squad because it has, it seems to have more of a serious tone, and I want a more serious movie right now. I'm kind of tired of just, you know, the Avengers or about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Dory, where it's all kind of lighthearted, and I want something a little more serious that takes itself seriously, purposely. So I want to sit down and I want to pay for that $12 ticket back up in Akron for a good serious movie that will make me think and actually make me question good versus bad and what really is good and bad. And I want to see a gray area that I think that Suicide Squad is going to bring. And I'm more interested about that than, you know, someone trying to find a fish or a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because I feel like I've just seen that story a lot already. So
here's my thoughts about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because I think I have mixed feelings about it, because again, I think we were all in the situation where we grew up with like the 90s campy versions. And those versions are, objectively speaking, not very good. Objectively speaking, from a movie standpoint, they are not very good stories.
And objectively, Psycho is a very awful movie in itself, too. We could say that. We could say every movie that dates itself is a bad movie because of the effects.
It was not a very strong story.
That's what I'm talking about. It's the storytelling. But it was fun, and it was campy, and it was something that we grew up with. So, again, there is a level of nostalgia there. And so I think I'm always open, personally, to reboots. Usually I'm really skeptical about them, though, because when you grow up with something, you have years and years of thoughts and experiences with these, with this version in particular. So,
but with that,
reboots are never going to actually live up to whatever is in your mind. I think mostly the one that came out a couple years ago, the first part of this, it didn't interest me, mostly because Michael Bay's name was tied to it.
Yeah,
and I think the second movie has the chance of being better.
I do too. I'll chime in saying that
Michael Bay is just producing it. He's not directing it.
Yeah.
But I'm just throwing this out there. I've already given up because I really don't care that much about my movie.
But I think that I think that we're all kind of relying on this nostalgic value of,
that's true,
of, you know, cinema and just storytelling. Look at Toy Story 3. You see it's a movie that everybody flooded to see because of how nostalgic it was. Mm-hmm. Same people are going to do the same for Finding Dory, but I think there was a lot more build up for Toy Story 3 because of two movies came out relatively around the same time. I think there was a greater fan base. I don't know the numbers. I'm just making a guess. My parents came to see it with me. I think there's more hype around that. There are radio shows talking about Toy Story 3 before it came out.
Oh, yeah. Frankly speaking, Finding Dory just feels like a cash grab.
It's sad because if you look at, Star Wars The Force Awakens, the only bad comment that they made about The Force Awakens was that they just tackled the nostalgic value of the movie and tried to relate it to A New Hope. And that's what it was. It was just A New Hope again. The problem with, I think, our generation of movies is that they're all trying to go after the nostalgic value and not trying to go after original content. And that's why I think it's hard to really enjoy Finding Dory, because I think it will be the same Finding Nemo. But I know that I will probably watch it and be like, okay, this is enjoyable. But I also think that the same argument goes for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The new one, what's it called? Edge of Dark. What's it called?
Out of the Shadows.
Out of the Shadows. Yeah, Shadows. It looks entertaining, but I'm just not as pumped for it, just because it looks like I've already seen these characters. I know what they do. That's why I think Suicide Squad, you have these new characters, comic book characters, of course, being adapted to the screen for the very first time, and that's the main reason I think that Suicide Squad, set aside, you know, the Joker and Harley Quinn. I mean, I know they're the main guys in this movie. They're going to steal the show, but I still think it'll be interesting to see the new characters that are going to kind of try to steal the screen as well.
Well, and here's my excitement about Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. And Like, I think you may have just won because I saw him write down a thing.
We're not doing very good on the debate part of it.
Whatever. The thing I am super excited about for Suicide Squad is Harley Quinn.
Me too.
Harley Quinn, who was invented by Bruce Timm and has, like, I don't know, had such this great, interesting history of how she's been treated, is finally coming to the big screen and seeing her, like, first incarnation in the big screen.
Second time.
Second?
Yeah.
Who was the first one?
Michael Keaton, or not Michael Keaton. Well, Michael Keaton's Batman, but what's his name?
Oh,
The director did Christmas The Nightmare on Christmas.
Tim Burton's wife, Batman. And Johnny Depp.
Yeah, Tim Burton's Batman. They had Harley Quinn in there for like 2 seconds. She was
they broke up.
Yeah.
When?
They did.
Yeah, they divorced.
When did that happen?
I don't know. It was probably.
Wait, Tim Burton and his wife?
Yeah, Tim Burton and Helena Bonham Carter divorced. I don't know if they're back together yet, but I know they had gone through a divorce.
Well, Tim or Helena, listen, if you're out there, our condolences. Yeah. And also congratulations, I suppose.
I mean, I hope you guys have a good life still.
Feel free to call in. We would love to have you, I'm sure.
I'm sure they respect each other and all that they've done together, all their work and stuff. So,
speaking of Suicide Squad, though, because I do agree there's not a whole lot of original content out there. And I think that's what cinema is lacking nowadays. Is they rely too much on things that already exist.
Yeah.
They rely too much on nostalgia. They rely too much on reboots. They rely too much on things that exist in other forms of media. And it's, you know, it would be really nice because, granted, yeah, there's really not very many stories out there. Like, everything is basically derived from the same, like, five stories. There's, like, the liar revealed. There's the coming of age. Mm-hmm. There's the adventure story, finding your place in the world.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, things like that. Like,
they're either, I heard there have been 5, 7, or 21 stories. Or,
yeah, but
still a limited number.
The thing that I realized, I actually realized this because of Hamilton, is that you can tell one of those stories and be as cliche as you want, but if you bring something new to it, it makes it so refreshing.
Yes,
I really liked with Suicide Squad, it's for me a sign of a good movie that it made me interested in the lore because I had seen the trailers and I'd seen the hype and I watched and I was really fascinated by Harley Quinn but I, as I said, I never read the comic books.
Same, I haven't
like
either.
That.
I honestly, I've only seen read a few Batman comic books.
Yeah,
I mean, I've read Batman. Everybody's read Batman, even if you haven't. But like you still.
You've read Batman.
I consider myself a comic book nerd, but I'm still like. Only scratch the surface.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go
so,
ahead.
Like, it inspired me to look up basically the story of Harley Quinn and familiarize myself with that universe and her character. And that's not something that a lot of movies have been able to make me do.
I made my deliberations while you were all talking.
Yeah.
So.
No. I mean, good. It's not as we already know.
The winner of the main round is Matt.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming.
Oh, blindsided.
Wow.
The dark horse in the competition.
I didn't prepare a speech.
That's
sorry.
Not over yet.
Who was it that they won some sort of award and they came up and they were like, I didn't prepare a speech, and then pulled out like a book.
I don't know. Or
some sort of like note cards or something and like had very clearly declared a speech. I don't know.
That sounds hilarious.
Right. Every time someone does that.
It is, but it's not over yet. We have a bonus round.
Am I allowed to compete in the bonus round?
You are allowed to compete in the bonus round. All three of you are competing in the bonus round, actually.
Okay. Part of me doesn't want to debate, though. I just want to talk.
That's what this is, though. I think it is.
I have a pretty cool thing that I want to talk about. I want to get your guys' opinion on this thing.
Later.
Yeah. All right.
We need to finish the round.
Nonsense.
All right. So the order is going to be Lindsay, Brad, and Matt. The bonus question is best car chase.
Okay.
All right. So you all get 30 seconds to tell me what you chose, and then we'll go from there.
All right.
So starting with Lindsay, go.
All right. The best car chase, in my opinion, came from the movie Blues Brothers.
Oh!
Keep going.
Right, Blues Brothers is such a classic. It's John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. I mean, like, you really cannot get better than that. And the car chase scene is one of the best scenes in the entire movie. It's toward the end with the climax, and it's set to, it's basically this car and these policemen. It's like the definition of a car chase. They're plowing through like malls and stores and things like that. Just, it's ridiculous, the level of it's comedic, actually, the level of things that they are plowing through. And then on top of that, it's set to like a soul soundtrack.
So 30 seconds, man. All right.
Hold up. It's 106 miles to Chicago. We've got a full tank of gas, have a pack of cigarettes. It's dark out, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hey.
thank you for that, Brad. All right, Brad, what did you pick?
I chose the car chase from E.T., which not everyone in that chase is on a car. All right. Just the people pursuing them.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying in the previous question.
I'll let it slide.
Yeah.
So we had a discussion before this, by the way, about, and it has to be on the ground, is what Aaron told me. So
it's partially on the ground.
It's on the ground part of the way. Yeah. The important part is not on the ground, he's flying. Yeah. That scene is just filled with so much childhood hope, wonder, and fear, kind of all at the same time, while playing off these kind of tropes of car chases. Ooh, they do the nice quick word. Panning between people, and
isn't there a blockade?
Yeah. At one point, there's a blockade, and then they just kind of go through them. So it's fun. It's really emotionally filled, and it leads up to that last scene, which is just, oh, my heart.
Don't even get me started. I love E.T.
It's right. So good.
You're good.
Yoda's design was based off of E.T.
What?
What?
I don't know what you just said.
That's okay. I said it really fast.
Matt, what did you pick?
I chose the opening car scene or chase and car chase in Quantum of Solace.
James Bond.
Yeah. I chose that primarily because I thought it was really fascinating that it started in Casino Royale at the very end when James Bond walks up to Mr. White. He's like, after shooting him in the leg and James Bond music starts playing, he's like, Mr. White, the name's Bond, James Bond. And then it cuts to the cuts to the music, and then you go 2 years later and it continues that same story, but it's with Mr. White in the trunk, and he's trying to take White to HQ, and he's like being chased by these guys. All the cuts and everything were really perfect and crisp. Loved how, like, the jump cuts are great. It felt like you were, like, in the car with Daniel Craig and crazy. And then when he gets into the tunnel, he opens up the trunk, and then he's like, I forget what he says. He says something like a one-liner. Then it cuts to the music again.
You're done. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, through sheer dumb luck... Giving it to Lindsay.
What?
What?
I am.
What was your... Yeah.
Blues Brothers.
Yeah. So what that means for us is, even though I prepared the speed round, we don't need to do the speed round. That concludes the semifinal round of Cinema Wars. We will
goodbye.
See you next week.
Bye, Brad. Bye,
final. Avita saying
goodbye.
We will see.
I flitter and I fly.
Nah, fam.
Right. We will see Matt and Lindsay against Chris next week.
What's the one where it's like, I'd like to taste my first champagne?
I'm coming for you.
So long, farewell. Meter Zane, I'd like to stay and taste my first champagne. No.
Only on Cinema Central.
The battle is done, but the war is far from over. Tune in next week for the next engagement here on Cinema Central.